Welcome back. This is the second video in my series about local development with the .NET backend of Azure Mobile Services. In the previous video, we talked about how to add a new table to the backend called Guitar. I wanted to show you the magic of how data gets pre-populated in the database. In the first demo, we saw when we read the to-do item table, it had some items pre-populated and they appeared in the data we retrieved. Where that happens is inside the app start folder. There's a file in there called webapiconfig.cs. Inside of there is the seed function. In the previous video, we saw these two items returned when we queried the table, first item and second item. We didn't do something similar for guitar. We added the guitar class, but we didn't add anything to the seed function. So if I queried the database, I would not have any items pre-populated. So what I want to do is show you how to seed the database for the guitar table. It is fairly simple, and again, I love to learn by example, and we can see what the to-do item is doing. So let's just copy that and use that example to add our guitar items to the database. So I've copied the to-do item code, and we just want to change to-do item in the copy code to be the guitar class instead. And now I also want to resolve the collision for to-do items. I'll just call this items and change the for each loop down here appropriately. Now that I've done this, you'll see some red squiggles for text and complete in the constructors. Because these properties don't exist in the guitar class, I can use IntelliSense to help me add the appropriate fields name and manufacturer. I will add SG and Les Paul to seed my database. You can see in the code after the guitar constructors, we're iterating over the list and adding the guitars to the database context. We will run this and go to try it out. We will get the guitar stored in the database and see if our new information is there. You'll see we only have one item, however. I do see a Gibson SG, and if you look at the ID field, it is not one or two as I set in our code. This seems to be a good candidate for debugging. So back in Visual Studio, I'll set a breakpoint in Visual Studio, restart debugging, and see if I can spot the problem. Note that I never hit this breakpoint. The clue as to why we did not hit the breakpoint is in the name of the function, drop create database if model changes. The model has not changed, so we didn't drop the database and seed the new one. To trigger this, you could alter the model, change it, but we provide an alternate class that you can use to always drop and create the database called drop create database always. Now when we run again, we'll see the old database was flushed and we hit the breakpoint and seed the new database with our data. We do hit the breakpoint, and continuing, we do see the newly seeded data. I brought you back into Visual Studio so you can see what I typically do when using this drop create database always class. I use an if, else, end if set of statements, and only if I'm compiling debug do I use this class. Otherwise, I'm in release mode, I'm probably testing and don't want to wipe out my database each time the process starts. Another advantage is that I can quickly toggle between wiping out and seeding my database by changing debug to debug 1. I hope you found this video blog useful and will tune in later for some more tips and tricks.